Reading from Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 and 26. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." Those are sins. "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight, the title of my message is, "Not Clean Enough." Not clean enough. Now, I don't think I have to spend a lot of time explaining those verses to you tonight. The Lord's telling the scribes and Pharisees that they pay a lot of attention to the outside, to the external appearance, to what men sees, but the inside of them was what they should be paying attention to, that was the place where they needed to be changed. And then once the inside of them was changed, the outside would change. And so that briefly is the meaning of the message tonight, and that's the way I'm presenting my message tonight, not clean enough. Now, all non-Christian religions, programs, systems, whatever you want to call them, really only affect any change that they make in people on a shallow, superficial, surface level. I'll begin my message by saying that tonight. I'll say it again in case you missed it. It's very important. All non-Christian religions, programs, systems, or what have you, really only affect any change that they might make in people on a shallow, superficial, surface level. They all fail, and they fail miserably, to get down to the inner man or heart of an individual. And therefore, they fail where they are needed most. There are no unbiblical methods or teachings that can reach down into the sinful heart of man, which must be done in order to bring about change at the necessary depth or level of a human being that needs to be brought about. Nothing can reach that deep. All of them are surface instruments only. Matthew 15, verses 19 and 20 says this, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." He's given an example, of course, not trying to name them all. He said, "These are the things which defile a man. These are the things which are sinful. These are the things that are his sins, that contaminate him, make him unclean. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Now, dear people, he says it's man's heart where his problem is. And tonight, only God can reach down into the depths of a human being's heart and affect or bring about the changes that must be made if that human being is to have change on the level or at the depth that he needs to have the change. That's what Jesus is saying to the scribes and Pharisees. "You boys are plowing too shallow. You're washing the outside of the cups and the platter, but the inside is still dirty." Reformation. You know what reformation is, don't you? It's what some people call turning over a new leaf. Fellow goes along and he says, "Well, I haven't been living right, I haven't been doing right, I haven't been treating my wife right, I haven't been treating the children right, I haven't been paying my bills, I haven't been doing this, I haven't been doing that, so I'm going to turn over a new leaf now. New year's starting, or I'm 50, or I'm 35, or I'm 70. Some occasion, they said, "Well, from here on, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and everything's going to be different." That's reformation. Reformation is outward change only. That's all it is. And it will not do. regardless of what lesser benefits it might have for the person that makes it. Now, the reason I said that is if a fellow's drinking and he quits drinking, he'll have more money to spend on his family. He probably won't beat his wife and his children like he used to. And he won't be as much danger on the highway to his neighbor. And so that is of a benefit, socially we might say, but that's still not what he needs to get to the root of his problem. That's reformation. I would encourage a man who's on drugs to quit the drugs. But I'd make him to understand that quitting the drugs was just dealing with a symptom of a larger problem. And if he didn't have the wrong kind of heart, he wouldn't be on the drugs. It's good that man quits doing some bad things that are causing him some problems, maybe his family some problems, and maybe the society, his community, his loved ones problems. That's good. But that's not change enough. That's not the change that God requires in a human being. Sinful, rebellious man's unbiblical systems. And boy, he's got them and he loves them. And every time you hear them, they act like they're the solution to all the world's problems. I get sick of it. I was listening to a lady on television the other night and she said, send me some money and get this program. Oh, it's what you need. Well, she's just like a snake oil peddler. That's what she was. Just like the old medicine man that'd go down to the river and fill up all the bottles with water and then sell it for a cure-all for whatever ails you. Because even honest psychiatrists and so forth have admitted that as many folks get well without them as do with them, and that's not a good recommendation for your business. Not at all. Listen, dear people. Man's unbiblical systems, like psychology, like psychiatry, all of his therapies, and when I say therapies, I mean there's all kinds of them, you know. And they're ridiculous. All of these are inadequate. All of them are futile. All of them are vain when it comes to solving man's real desperate problem, which is the problem of sin. Sin is a three-letter word. But it's the name of a great big problem that man has that nothing else can ever, ever take care of but God. And that's where the problem comes in. Because of what kind of a thing it is. The only way to reach the heart of an individual, a human being, you or me, is by using the gospel, which we talked about this morning. The gospel powered by the Holy Ghost, our Holy Spirit. Paul in Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And I say, amen. Brother Paul, that's what it took to change my life. Paul knew that's what it took to change his life. It took something more powerful than the atom bomb. The atom bomb would have just killed me. But the gospel went down into the depths of my heart. And God saved my soul through the preaching of the gospel. And if you're saved tonight, He saved you that way. That's the only way that the heart of an individual can be reached. And man says, I don't have any confidence in that. I don't believe in that. That's just old fogyism. Look, we're in the chain of evolution and we've evolutionized to the point to where we've outgrown our need for gods. Well, he hasn't because he still has them because man will have his gods. If he's breathing, he's got his gods. He may not know the true and living God, but he's got his gods. He can't exist without them. And dear people tonight, it is by the gospel that the Holy Spirit brings about the new birth in a lost, hell-bound sinner. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye, Nicodemus, religious, dedicated, morally upright, though you may be, must be born again.
but you must be born of the Spirit. It is a spiritual birth, and it is one which only the Holy Spirit can bring to pass in the life of an individual. But boy, you can't hear it when it takes place, and you can't see it, but you can see the effects after it's taken place. That's what the Word of God says, and we know in our own lives that it does so. Whenever the Holy Ghost brings about the new birth in a lost, hell-bound sinner, a child of the devil, He transforms that man's heart or that woman's heart, and that results in a change in the way of living. You talk to lost people and you say, you need to be saved. They say, well, I can't live for God now. I'm going to have to make some changes in my life before I can do that. No, they've got the cart ahead of the horse. If you pass down the road and saw a fella hooking a horse up to the wagon and he had the horse behind the wagon like he was going to push it, you'd say, man, what are you trying to do? The horse is hooked up wrong. You put the horse in front of the wagon and he pulls it. The man said, no, man, that's not right. This horse is supposed to push that wagon. You say, you're never going to get anywhere. Well, that's just the way the lost sinner is. It keeps on looking at the Christian life and saying, I can't live that. No, you can't, because you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Your body's not the temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't have the enabling power of the Holy Spirit to help you. So you can't live the Christian life. That's right. You're still trying to cross bridges before you get to them. One preacher says that he knows of at least 125 passages of Scripture in the Bible that clearly teaches in one way or another that man's sin problem lies deep down in his heart. Well, I never counted them. He may be right and he may be wrong. I didn't count them because one was enough for me to find. There's more than one, but I believe it. And that's what the Word of God says. And that's what everything you see around you bears witness to. Because I'm telling you, we've never had the like of therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists, and everything is so messed up you can't tell where you're going and are coming, and it doesn't even make good common sense anymore. I've never seen the like. I've lived to see people that were supposed to be intelligent people acting like fools. And what it is nothing in the world, but they are acting like fools because they rejected the Word of God to follow the darkness of their own alienated, sinful hearts. It gets them in trouble, folks. They end up in hell if they don't turn to the Lord before it's too late. You know, as children of Adam, and we all came from the same daddy and mama. That's right. We all came from Adam and Eve. As children of Adam, we inherited hearts that have been affected, that is, corrupted by sin. That's right. Failure, dear people, to get to the bottom of things will only result in failure to bring the needed and necessary solution to the problems of man, which is sin. Failure. Don't care what they come out with. Don't care how much they advertise it. Don't care how many articles they write about it. When they say, well, this is going to take care of man's problem, if it's not dealing with the heart problem, if it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't get excited. Just say more of the same. More of the same from the council chambers of Satan and sinful man. More snake oil. More sham. More misleading of those that need help and need it badly, but spiritually. The Word of God is the only instrument powerful enough and sharp enough to get to the depths of a person's problem, and that is a wicked heart. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's a living thing. And powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. And of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now that's getting down where you live. Man has nothing like that. Man has nothing to compare to the Word of God. Now the word heart that we keep talking about covers all other terms or expressions for our inner life, our inner man, our inner being. Now when you and I say we love someone with all of our heart, we're usually We've usually got two things in mind, and that's feelings and emotions. But that's not what God means when He speaks about the heart in His holy word. When God talks about feelings in the Bible, you know what He says? He uses the term, listen to me carefully please, bowels. B-O-W-E-L-S, bowels. If you've been reading your Bible and you've run across that word and someone was talking about their bowels, it's talking about feelings. God in His Word, when He speaks about feelings, uses the term bowels. The Bible speaks of the bowels as the seat of the emotions. Give you a scriptural example of what I'm talking about. Lamentations 1 and 20 says, "Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. Mine heart is turned within me." Lamentations of Jeremiah as he looked out over old beloved Jerusalem lying in ruins. That's when you uttered those words there. The Holy Spirit recorded them for us. Now when God speaks about the heart of man, He refers to the whole inner life of the person. This includes feelings, thinking, decision-making, reasoning, understanding. Scriptural example, Mark chapter 2 and verse 8. Listen to the words of Christ. "Why reason ye these things in your hearts?" You reason in the heart that God talks about. That's more than just feelings and emotion. That gets down into the inner man, where you think and you reason and you make decisions. That's the heart God's talking about. He's talking about the innermost being of us as human beings. Someone has said that a person lives really one life, but he lives it on two fronts. One front is in reference to other people, and the other front is in reference to himself. That's true. But the thing you want to remember, dear people, is that we must never forget for one minute that both of these fronts are lived in reference to God. You see, we are never alone. It's never just us, folks. The Lord's always there. We live in a glass house as far as God's concerned. You can't hide from God. Anybody that says that His Word will get down to the very thoughts and intents of your heart, He not only sees what you're doing, but He knows why you're doing it. You can't throw God off. You can't fake Him off. The lost man says, "I can do anything that the saved man can do." That's right. He might be able to do it, but he won't do it for the same reason. And God sees down there where the reason comes from. The lost man may say, "Well, if I live a pretty good moral life, this will make me right with God, so I'll do this." And God says, "That's why he's doing that. That's why he's giving that person that money. That's why he picked that man up and gave him a ride. That's why he got that man out of that burning house. He was really looking out for himself. And he figured, well, this will help me get to heaven without having to go God's way." So there he is. He's a scoundrel. Even when he's doing right. God knows. God understands. You don't pull any wool over God's eyes. You pull the wool over man's eyes, anybody, mama, daddy, husband, wife, brother, sister. You don't pull any wool over God's eyes. I think about that because I see people trying to do that all the time. That's foolish. You can't do it. You just might have quit trying. You just might have quit trying. Now, you don't have to tell the whole world when you do something for the wrong reason, but you better go ahead and confess it to God because He knows. You say, "Now, Lord, I tell you what, I was really selfish in doing that." Lord said, "I knew that all the time. I just wonder if you was going to get around to telling me that and confessing that is sin, because I knew that. I knew why you did that. Everybody else thought you did that because you loved me. Truth is, you really did that because you thought there was some advantage to you out of it. You didn't do it for me. So I'll tell you what, whatever comes out of that to your advantage is all you're going to get. I'm not going to reward you for that. That treasure didn't make it to heaven. It fell short of the bank. It didn't ever get to the bank. First National Bank of Heaven. It didn't make it. That's all you're going to get is what people said about you. As a good man, look what he did." God says, "That's all you're getting. That's it. That's what the Bible teaches." Now listen, dear people. Listen. What is it? What is it that causes you to do what you do? And you do some things, you know. What is it
that causes you to think the way you do?
What is it causes you to say what you say? I know what we say. Well, I'm like Grandma Taterhead. Oh, it runs deeper than that. What is it that causes you to be motivated or driven the way you are in whatever particular direction? Well, let me answer that question. It all comes from within. It comes from within your heart. That's what Jesus said. It comes from within the inner man. Down there where Jesus said real effective change must take place if there's to be change. That's worthy of being called change. Now let me tell you, folks, I'm no expert, but Jesus was.
Amen.
Folks say, well, I want to go to a doctor. I want to go to the best one I can find. I don't blame you. You want to go to somebody who knows what they're doing, and I do too. But you want somebody to the great position, you want to go to the best one when it comes to your soul and your life and your spiritual needs, you go to Jesus Christ. He never failed on a case yet. He knows exactly where the problem is. If you go and open up and say, all right, Lord, I want to know where the problem is, He got it. And He'll let you know. And what you're going to do about it. That's the next. It's never a problem of finding out what's wrong with you. It's a problem of whether you're going to get it right. That's where the problem comes in. Most of us know when we're wrong. Well, sometimes we don't. We do it without even thinking. We're such sinners, you know, we can do it without second thought. But I'm going to tell you something, dear people. It is the heart. That's what Jesus said. That's the place where man has to be changed. And then they come out every day on television and all they say, oh, we got this new therapy out, and how's it going? Oh, it's going wonderfully well. I tell you, if we just use this, if we can get this out to everybody, there it is again. How many times have we heard that? The primal scream therapy, P-R-I-M-A-L, you heard of that? All these folks get in a room, it goes something like this. I've never been to one, just read a little bit about it, get in there and they say, just take out your frustration, just get to the place where you just scream. That's going to change something. Well, somebody said, let's go to the transference method. What's that, sir? We're going to put y'all all in that room, and if you don't like your mother-in-law, you just get you one of them pillows and beat the stuffings out of it. And just imagine that that's her. That, my friend, is sin. Every lick you hit that pillar goes down on your record. You hit your mom-in-law. What is it? The fault. Jesus laid it out like this, and He intended for us to be able to reason from this. Whoever looks on a woman to lust after, commits the act of his heart, guilty of it as far as God is concerned already. He did it as far as God is concerned. He did it. So much for beating a stuffing. Well, they tried that, and that was the hottest thing around, the primal scream. It's been a while since I've read about them, and it may be rough on my description, but they're always coming up with something. I heard one fellow running out talking about the inner child within you. Or that inner child. And I thought that's what happened to old people when they got old and childish, but that wasn't what he was talking about. He said, we got an inner child. That's another bunch of junk. And you just hear this all the time. And when you look out, what do you see? You see people killing one another like they were killing cockroaches right and left. You see the inhumanity of man to man. Man, people aren't satisfied killing one person anymore. They got to kill three or four or five or six or just go in and start mowing them down and getting rid of them. It's like they've gone crazy. Somebody said it's those guns. Beg your pardon, I own some, and I never woke up at night and looked down the barrel of one yet with nobody on the other end of it.
Amen.
That's stupid, isn't it? I mean, I want to remind you that God knows how to take care of the gun problem. He said, take care of the man that holds a gun. It goes like this. It's quite simple. It shakes the world up. Thou shalt not kill. That's God's gun control program.
Amen.
And if you murder your neighbor, you pay with your life. That's God's
gun control program. It's simple, isn't it?
Oh, man, look at that. Oh, that'll never do. Oh, that's all right. You don't know. You lost your mind. What? You're a child of the devil. You haven't got sense enough to pull water out of a boot and the directions say turn it upside down and you're telling everybody to follow you?
I appreciate those stickers that say on the car, don't follow me, I'm lost too. I think they ought to be on every one of these so-called leaders today that's solving people's problems. Don't follow me. That's honest. That's honest. I don't know where I'm going either. All right. No one, listen to me, no one, and this is the problem, this is what Jesus said, it's not me, check it out in the Bible, no one can love God and love his neighbor until he or she is born again. Changed in the inner man with a new heart. The Pharisees' way, which was in our text, is not acceptable to God. And somebody said, well, I'll tell you one thing, I love my neighbor. No, you don't love your neighbor like God says. That's one of the reasons why you're going to go to hell if you don't have that sin put on the blood. And you don't love God either. I love God. You can't tell me I don't love God. You've never been born again. You don't love God. You can't love God. The truth is you hate God and you're an enemy to God. And you say, well, I don't believe that's right. But when you get saved, you'll quit arguing with God and you'll say, he's telling the truth. As long as you put up that argument, well, I tell you one thing right now. I never was an enemy of God. You ever been saved? No. Well, then let me tell you one thing right now. When you get saved, you'll listen, the Holy Spirit indwell you, and you'll say, that's me. If God said I was an enemy, I was an enemy. I don't care whether I could see it and follow it all. It's true. The Lord sees and places and understands things about me that I don't know. So I take it as it is. That's the way it is. And the problem today with man, the Ten Commandments were summed up by the Lord Jesus Christ in two. Love God and love your neighbor. Man, that's summing it up, isn't it? That's right. He said, that's the Ten Commandments summed up. Well, I thought I was doing that. I carried him a mess of peas the other day. Bless your heart, that was good. But I didn't quite get down to where the problem is. That doesn't get down to the depths. That's right. We can't stop there for a while. We're tempted to. God help you tonight to believe this, to accept this. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul said, therefore, what's that therefore? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's another way of saying if he's saved, if he's born again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Touch that, Mr. Psychiatrist. Touch that, Mr. Therapist. Touch that, Mr. Psychologist. You can't. God said that. God the Holy Spirit said that, had old Paul write that, and he stands behind it. And dear people, God's the only one that can bring that to pass. Somebody said, I'll get along as well without God as I will with him. No, you won't, and hell will change your mind. 1 second after you die, you'll realize that you were the biggest fool that ever looked at yourself in the mirror. That's right. The change that needs to be brought about in a human being can only be brought about by God. And if you'll notice in America today, that's who we're trying to keep out of the prisons. They even don't like them to go to prison sometimes. They want to keep out schoolhouse. Then they run around telling me, well, we're real concerned about the unsafe place at the schoolhouse, and we really want it to be safe. And you won't let God in down there, and you can't teach those kids the Ten Commandments, and you can't hang them on the wall, and they can't have anything in the textbooks. Quit lying to me. This old country boy didn't just get off of the wagon last night. When America wants things changed, you'll see the president call, walk to the podium and tell the ACLU to go take a flying leap and a rolling donut and declare this nation is under the wrath of God for its sins and I'm calling it to repentance as God's leader. And he won't stutter when he says it. That's it. Let that bunch run around and
turn wrong side out and upside down and swing from a tree like a monkey or whatever they want to do. Doesn't make any difference. All that really makes any difference is what God says.
Amen.
When it's all said and done, God has the final word. In case you haven't noticed in the Bible, God has the final word, not man. Well, somebody said, what is it? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. That's kind of final, isn't it? That's kind of final. Get out of here, you wicked, sinful rebels. Doesn't sound like the sissy God that some people worship today, does it? All right, let me close by saying this. May God help you to understand what I have said tonight as much as possible. May God help you to accept the fact that you're a sinner in heart and in life. May God help you, if you haven't done so, to trust Jesus Christ with all of your heart to save you and to change you. Down deep in your heart first, then outside, day by day, as you learn and walk obediently with God, you will change just like the apple turns from green to red on the tree. But you'll change because you are saved by the grace of God and you're God's child. The apple does not change colors from green to red to make it an apple.